You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 12th, 2020, Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett underway. Republicans control the Senate. She will be passed. She will move to the Supreme Court. But that's not going to stop the Democrats from doing all the damage they can. They're attacking her for her religion, her belief on pro-life over abortion, and her possible effect and damaging efforts for the Obamacare program. Today, we just have senators making statements and Barrett making her statement. Tomorrow, they bring the knives out. In the meantime, Senator Sass, Republican, Nebraska, said, I'm watching all these Democrats push to increase the number of Supreme Court justices. Pack it with liberal jurists. They said, you have to understand, you're going to blow up our shared civics. You're just going to blow everything up. Is that what you want to do? And in fact, many Democrats have already called for court packing since Trump nominated Barrett. And over the weekend, again, the Democrats' presidential candidate, Joe Biden, asked, will you agree to pack the court? Is that your plan if you're elected? And he was saying, look, I know everybody asked me that question. If I answer, that's going to become the big news of the day, not focusing on the thousands of deaths that are on Trump's doorstep because he didn't handle COVID. So I'm not going to answer, as if that would stop the questioning. And the other day, over the weekend, a local reporter asked him again. And he said, well, people will know what I think the day after the election. The reporter said, persisted, but don't you think voters should know now? Don't they have a right to know now? Biden's answer, no. No, you don't have a right to know what I would do. Can you imagine Trump taking that attitude? Can you imagine the hellfire that would come down from the mainstream media if he did that? We have across the nation statues of Lincoln and Roosevelt in Portland, Oregon, toppled in Portland last night. And more will probably be pulled down sometime today across the nation. And Columbus, of course, because it's a Columbus Day. President Trump reacting to those who toppled the statues of Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. He said they are Biden fools and Antifa radicals. Tell the FBI to get them. Of course, over the weekend at a Patriot rally in Denver, a security guard for a TV station shot and killed a member taking part in the Patriot rally. It's still under investigation. Supposedly, allegations are surfacing more and more evidence that the guard who was employed by the station had leftist leanings and had for some time. I mentioned Portland a moment ago about the violence they had yesterday, last night. Well, Saturday night they also had a lot of violence. Police had to make a mass arrest of people. They said they were planning a direct action event threatening a policing center in the northern part of that city. Dateline Minneapolis, the city of violence. Yep, you might call it that. Minneapolis does have a violence problem, and the leaders are admitting it. They say, we don't know what to do. I want to find ways to help make people feel more comfortable, more safe. The same city that votes to defund police says we want to make people feel safer. No, there's no sense to that. New York Governor Cuomo said, I have no interest in serving Democrat nominee Joe Biden as Attorney General if he's elected. I want to stay in New York. Yeah, there's a story going around that Biden would tap Cuomo to be the AG. You like living in California? Here's another good reason. Expect more power cuts in the northern part of the state, increasing wildlife risks, so they're going to start rolling back the power from time to time. Isn't it great to live in that state? Well, you could, I guess, live in Florida all the way across the nation. They're not cutting power because of wildfires or anything like that, but they do have some other issues in Florida. Hunters were out looking for one, and they found one, a Burmese python, 104 pounds, measuring 18 feet 9 inches. Released originally, apparently, as a little tiny baby, and now 18 feet 9 inches, slithering through the swamps of Florida. Sleep well tonight.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID, so you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some, for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In just a few weeks, on November 10th, the Supreme Court will hear hearings in Texas v. California, a case brought to strike down the ACA. The president has promised to appoint justices who will vote to dismantle that law. As a candidate, he criticized the Supreme Court for upholding the law and said, and I quote, "If I win the presidency, my judicial appointments will do the right thing."
That is Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, California, saying this process is being rushed too fast to vet President Trump's pick. And we should fear what she would do to the Obamacare package. And she and other senators, as they were doing their 10-minute spiel, each getting today their 10 minutes uninterrupted, often pulling up pictures of folks who relied on Medicare, or I should say on Obamacare. And there's some very heartbreaking stories. But they're also not telling these stories about the people that have lost all what they had when Obamacare got thrown at them, and in many cases lost their jobs because their company could not afford to pay what was going to be given to them by Obamacare. And then how the premiums were changing rapidly by the insurance company, and if you can afford the premium, then you got to deal with the deductible before you ever get to use your insurance. Oh, did you get to keep your doctor? But they're convinced that Judge Amy Coney Barrett, once she's on the Supreme Court, she will work to destroy Obamacare. Again, Senator Feinstein says, we know that because we've heard that from Donald Trump.
When he appointed Judge Barrett to fill Justice Ginsburg's seat, the president said that eliminating the Affordable Care Act would be, quote, a big win for the USA. Judge Barrett, you've been critical of Chief Justice Roberts for his 5-4 opinion upholding the law, stating that Roberts, quote, pushed the Affordable Care Act beyond its plausible meaning to save the statute, end quote.
Again, Senator Feinstein. She did correctly state the facts regarding what Amy Coney Barrett had done, but if you listen, she didn't make a ruling on affordable care. She was critical of Justice Roberts and his take on the case in front of them at that time. But the Democrats, they know they cannot stop this from going through. They can't stop it. Republicans control the Senate. The plan is to have this hearing and the grilling, the questions, the interrogation starts tomorrow. But still, Senator Lindsey Graham is hopeful we'll be done and have it out to the full Senate by the 22nd. And that she could be confirmed before the election. Confirmed, installed as a Supreme Court Justice before the election. Lindsey Graham has also said, I'd like to see some civility. I know you have your differences, and you're entitled to ask the questions you want, and I do believe that Amy Coney Barrett has to answer your questions, but can we have civility? I'm not expecting that once the questioning begins. And it's not going to be just on Coney Barrett's belief about the Affordable Care Act. The other big issue is obviously abortion, Roe v. Wade. And left-wing groups including Move On, Indivisible, Narrow Pro-Choice America, Sunrise Movement, they already have protests going all across the nation opposing her nomination. In fact, they had one Sunday in D.C. in front of the Supreme Court. They are put out what they call the SCOTUS Rapid Response Action Guide. Protest planners giving a wide range of guidance for protesters and linking so visitors can donate to Planned Parenthood to protect RBG's legacy. How about that? Send more money to Planned Parenthood. And here's the way it reads. You get immediately when you hear me read this. What's going on? Because this is a very intelligent crowd. I know. Anyway, their guide says, in this moment of overlapping crises, a global pandemic, mass unemployment, systemic racism, and climate change. Oh, hell yeah, we got to throw that in there too. The stakes of nominating and confirming a new Supreme Court justice should not be higher. The global pandemic, of course, has nothing to do with Supreme Court. No rulings, anything of that nature. But the left is saying Trump is responsible for all 200,000 plus deaths. And not once does the mainstream media say, and Governor Cuomo is responsible for about 12 to 20,000 because they were ordered to stay in nursing homes and die. And mass unemployment, the economy was doing just great, clicking along the lowest black unemployment in our nation's history until the pandemic hit. And yeah, businesses are suffering. I was in a business last night, a Mexican food restaurant, great, great place in what is known for the area is Chesterfield Valley. I'll say the name. I mean, I'm not being paid for it, but it's Espinos. Espinos, and great food. And I was talking to the owner, and I said, I'm glad to see you're back. He said, yeah, but we're still only allowed 50% occupancy. You can't do it that way. They had been at 25% occupancy. Now they're at 50% occupancy. They still struggle, but at least it's a help. And nearby ball fields where kids play their summer baseball, there are numerous fast food franchises all in that area that rely on the families that take their kids to the game, getting them food before the game, after the game, maybe coming back later. And since the fields have been kept closed because of the pandemic, the teams are going to St. Charles County, neighboring Franklin County, Jefferson County. It's a boom for those businesses, but killing those in the so-called Chesterfield Valley. What they're doing with all of this, of course, is anything they can to attack Judge Baird at the same time. Now, we saw what they did with Kavanaugh, making him a serial rapist. I don't think they're going that far. I don't think. But don't hold me to that, because you never know what they're going to do. But they are looking for ways to show she's unacceptable, even though the American Bar Association says she is well qualified. The American Bar Association ranking, according to the Democrats, has always been the gold standard. Well, it's tarnished gold or fool's gold this time. They don't think it's good. And also, against this COVID background, we have the hearings in such a way that we've never seen before. The highest-ranking members are up at the dais, but spread far apart. The lower-ranking members have to sit on the floor, and they're spread out. And then, of course, some senators are allowed to do it remotely if they want. They don't have to come in to the questioning or anything and make their statements. They can do it remotely. Now, when it comes to voting, they're going to have to be present. But one of those doing it by remote, Senator Leahy, Democrat, Vermont. And Senator Leahy is one of those, again, that's coming forward and making it clear that they fear this new woman nominated for the Supreme Court.
That's what weighs heavily on me as we begin these hearings. It also weighs heavily on the minds of the Vermonters I represent. I've heard from them often and loudly since Justice Ginsburg's passing. They're scared, Judge Barrett. They're scared that your confirmation would rip from them the very health care protections the millions of Americans have fought to maintain and which Congress has repeatedly rejected eliminating. They're scared that the clock will be turned back to a time when women had no right to control their own bodies and when it was acceptable to discriminate against women in the workplace.
This is a woman with her husband. They have seven children, two of them adopted. One of their natural children has Down syndrome, and she had decided we're not going to have an abortion, we're going to keep the child. And working unbelievable hours as a federal judge and now moving to the U.S. Supreme Court. You talk about somebody that's not showing women that, well, this is as far as you can go. She said, no, you can do anything you want. You're the only one that hold yourself back. And yet they want to discredit her for being a mother, a working woman, a woman who says, I will do what I want, and I will not be held back. Senator Leahy, do you know how stupid that sounds when you're talking about someone like Amy Coney Barrett? And then we've got some of these woke, politically correct people come running out. Ibram Kendi is one of the ones that is jumping in. He's the director of the Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University, author of How to Be an Anti-Racist. And he said this about Barrett on Twitter, because the two children they adopted were from Haiti. He said some white colonizers adopted black children. They civilized these savage children in the superior ways of white people while using them as props in their lifelong pictures of denial of racism. Those two kids rescued from Haiti have a whole new life now. But it's not just Barrett. As Illinois Senator Durbin has made it very clear, our real issue is Donald Trump.
This may be one of the most consequential elections in our nation's history, because for the first time in the history of the United States, an incumbent president refuses to commit to a peaceful transition of power if he loses the election. This president, in his vanity and constitutional recklessness, refuses to commit to accept the will of the American electorate.
That is not correct at all, as the way you listen to Durbin, as if Trump is not going to be removed from office if he loses unless we send in troops to carry him out. But that's their story, and they're sticking to it. But if you listen to the Illinois Senator, Dick Durbin, you get it very clear. This is not so much about the nomination, the nominee for the Supreme Court. This is really more Trump hate.
Let's be very honest about this. This president has never suffered an unuttered thought. He gives us 25 tweets a day to tell us what's going through that fertile mind. We know what he thinks because he tells us what he thinks.
Yeah, and so does Nancy Pelosi sometimes. And sometimes it backfires on you. You know, the other day she was talking about pushing forward using the 25th Amendment to remove Trump because he's on all these meds and steroids for COVID that he might be unstable, paranoid. Trump has turned that back on her. And Joe Biden should have been hearing. I'll explain for you, because this is funny. I'll bet Nancy wishes she had kept her mouth shut. That's still to come. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, in Washington, D.C., at the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on the nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, Senator and Vice Presidential candidate Kamala Harris has been issuing her remarks in her 10 minutes, using her statement to claim that the nominee will, quote, undo Ginsburg's legacy. And by that, she's referring to abortion, Roe v. Wade. Now, since Harris made that statement, I want to remind you of something. Last week, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, joined Congressman Jamie Raskin introducing a bill to create a commission to evaluate the mental and physical fitness of our president and initiate a process to remove him under the 25th Amendment if necessary. It creates a path for preserving stability if a president suffers a crippling physical or mental problem and, in Nancy Pelosi's words, is, quote, unable to discharge powers and duties of his office and transfers his powers. That is specifically part of the amendment. So she said, I think we could use the 25th Amendment and get rid of Trump because he's on all these drugs after his COVID treatment. Friday, Donald Trump was on with talk show host Rush Limbaugh. And he said something that was kind of in the back of my mind. I'm glad he did. He said, you know, that could be used to get rid of Joe. That could be used to get rid of Joe. And it came up again over the weekend when Trump was on Fox News with Maria Bartiromo, and she raised the same issue about this 25th Amendment. Mr. President, what's your reaction? Trump said, well, I think she's talking about Joe Biden, because to be honest with you, he's the one that's got the problem. It's obvious to anybody who watches him speak. So you know what he's suggesting. Joe Biden, if he's elected, Pelosi will once again bring up the 25th Amendment, get Joe out, and make Kamala president. As I told you previously, she, Kamala, did not sign on just to be vice president. She is there in case Joe is suddenly incapacitated. And you might look for Nancy Pelosi, if Biden wins, to suddenly rush forward and get support from many Democrats to get Biden out of the way. So, Democrats, you're not really going to be electing Biden. You're going to be electing Kamala. Keep that in mind. And yet the attacks continue on Amy Coney Barrett inside and outside the Senate hearing. And tomorrow, the real questions and attacks and grilling interrogation begin. But let me share another view from another liberal. 14-minute tirade, he started saying, first of all, he talked about Trump should be co-indicted as a conspirator, I should say, in the plot by anti-government militia to kidnap Democrat Michigan Governor Whitmer. No evidence. He just decided, why don't I throw that in? But what he's also saying, people like Amy Coney Barrett must be prosecuted, convicted, removed from our society. Convicted, prosecuted, removed? Who would say that? Oh, that would be Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, ex-MSNBC anchor. He's doing it on YouTube videos because he's no longer on MSNBC. He said, they let me on my contract early so I could talk about the election. Right. Dr. Gerard Lomero will join us next segment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Traveling in a fighter combi, on a heavy trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and
this is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Always glad to have Dr. Gerard Lomero join us. Of course, he's an expert when it comes to forecast modeling and politics. Author, political analyst. Dr. Lomero, once again, welcome aboard, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
You know, I want to point out to the audience that I'm doing great, thank you. I'm sorry, I just wanted to, before I forgot it, Dr. Lomero had another engagement at this time, and I said, I can't move another guest, so maybe we'll do it tomorrow. He said, I'll take care of it, and I'm glad you could do it and you could be with us today. Thank you, sir.
Well, I'm happy to be with you. Always happy. This is my 123rd interview on your program.
I'm going to owe you so much money. All right, Dr. Lomero, let's begin. First of all, your take on the Senate confirmation hearing that began today and how that will or will not affect anything going on, first with the presidential election.
Well, I don't think it's going to have any influence on the outcome of the election at all, other than to motivate some of Trump's base to come out. The more they do, the more negative they are with Amy Coney Barrett, the stronger is the sentiment on Trump's base to go out and get out and vote. And the significance of his decision on the Supreme Court and the other courts is just basically highlighted, and they say this is an important reason to get out and vote for him.
The other thing,
I don't think it's going to affect the outcome. I think it's just going to strengthen the base.
Now, the other part of that question is, out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, five of the Republicans are facing re-election. and three are Democrats facing re-election. In other words, a total of eight are facing re-election as they're taking part in this Judiciary Committee hearing, and two things in play. One, they can't be in their state campaigning as we're closing in on the days, and two, how's that going to affect their races in the balance of the Senate?
Well, the entire nomination leans toward Trump and those who support Trump. So, for example, Mick Sally is in a close race against Mark Kelly in Arizona. Mick Sally is the senator there, and she's looking to win now in my forecast model by 1.5%. She's come out strongly behind voting for the nomination of Barrett. So it seems to be working in Trump's favor.
Now, Senator Graham has a South Carolina against a Democrat that the last poll showed at one point, I'm sorry, nearly tied in August, a recent poll from Morning Consult. Graham ahead by just 1 point, and he won. Trump won that state by 14 points in 2016. So Graham's on the line as well.
Well, Trump's victory in South Carolina is going to help to bring up the vote for Senator Graham. By the way, that race has another significance. It has the largest amount of money ever put into a South Carolina Senate race. The Democrat has managed to raise $57 million.
Wow.
Incredible amount for South Carolina.
And why are they dumping so much on that particular state? Because of Lindsey Graham's seniority and standing?
Yes, and they don't like him. He supported Trump too much. And if you support Trump, they're against you, that's for sure.
So,
if you're in the club of people who call themselves billionaires.
Yeah. Well, I also have seen a list recently of about 30 different billionaires who have funneled already a lot of money to Trump, and they actually did not support him in 2016, but now they're stepping up to do so.
Yeah, well, that might even it out a little bit, because let's face it, the billionaires club, those various leftist billionaires, have put $11 billion, believe it or not, that's hard to believe, into the current set of Democratic races.
In Florida, we're told by the Governor DeSantis that the margin of distance between Democrats and Republicans on registration is narrowing. It used to be 350,000 more registered Dems and Republicans. Now it's less than 180,000, might be 150,000. What's that say?
Well, of course, it says that a lot of people are moving in from other states. You know, you have the problem.
Yeah. Right.
You have the problem, for example, of New Yorkers who can't stand New York's taxes and the way they handled the COVID virus, the way they handled the anarchy and the rioting. You have a lot of people just moving out, going to Florida for tax reasons and for other social reasons. But unfortunately, they tend to bring their same Democratic policies that ruined that state down to Florida.
So the other day when we were last week, I was telling you that CNN was now proclaiming for the first time Biden has passed the 270 mark to win the Electoral College. That was CNN. Now Politico is also saying, based on its election forecast, which debuted late last year, they also say Biden has reached 270 electoral votes for the first time. I don't know if they're copying each other, but you dismissed it the other day.
Yeah, they're both dreaming. Delusional is a good word. I think they believe their polls. They believe them up until the day after the election. You know, after the last election, one of the major polling firms sent me an email, and I kept it. And the email said, "You were right, we were wrong."
Oh, really?
I did. I got that from one of the major. You know the name,
but
I won't mention it.
All right. Well, I could take a few guesses. And, in fact, last time around, one of the major ones decided it wasn't even going to try to do any forecasting in that race.
That's right. Yeah, they sort of gave up on it. And by the way, the things are almost identical to 2016. The same reasons the polls are wrong are true again, and they seem to be wrong by more or less the same amount. I remember about this time, 4 years ago, exactly in October, I think it was October 10th. Today is October 12th. I wrote an article when Hillary Clinton was ahead by 18 percentage points. And I said, forget the polls, forget the pundits, forget the media, Trump is winning. And he did.
I remember you saying that. I certainly do. Now, the other thing is that some are saying, but this time Biden's distance and lead and percentage is double what Hillary Clinton had at that time.
That's not true. That's not even true of their own data. If you look at their wrong data, it's not double their wrong data. It's about the same.
So I sent you I wanted your import on another article, so I did send it to you. I'm sure you'd already seen it. This is also a political piece talking about how Biden could end 2020 on election night, not have to wait for more ballots to come in, and that the path for Trump is very unlikely. What was your thought about that approach?
They're wrong.
Give them something. Do they get a consolation prize? Something?
No, they don't. In fact, you know, I can go and quote others too. There are a number of different models out there. I'm not the only forecast model. I think mine is the best. Of course, I'm biased.
Of course.
But there are others. There's someone who has something called the primary model, and he bases elections, presidential elections, quite accurately on the results of the primaries and the caucuses. And his model shows Trump winning by, I think, 330 votes. I have 348. We have another one that's out that was quoted on the radio today. And I forget the gentleman's name, but he does it. He's been doing it for the last three presidential elections. He's been right every time. He's got Trump at almost 330. So there's three models.
Three of you above 300 for him, while you've got the leftist mainstream media saying he's already got 270 locked down.
It's just simply not true. In their hopes and dreams it'll happen, but it's not happening in reality.
Well, the other point, of course, they didn't like the results last time, so they wanted to blow up the Electoral College and give it up. But now, if it's working to their advantage and it does work for them, I don't think it will either, I'm sure then the Electoral College will have their blessing again.
Well, you can expect that this December 14th, when the Electoral College meets, they'll be talking about it's time to do away with the Electoral College.
So here we are, this close now to the election. The town hall debate thing has been canceled out. You said the other day that Trump would do better to have a mass rally, which he's planning. He apparently told his staff, I want to be on the road every day between now and the election. Frank Luntz, we've referred to before, CBS analyst, sure. Political analyst, said that this not having that other 90-minute debate could be damaging to Trump. That he needs that 90-minute confrontation against Biden and getting only one more shot, and because Luntz saying Biden won the first one, and that Trump needs to have that confrontation face to face and hold on, because otherwise it could be damaging and he'll never recover.
I don't agree. A lot of factors are in play in a presidential election. A lot of them go long-term. They don't just happen overnight. And one particular event doesn't affect them too much. And the things that are causing Trump to win are in play and moving forward. The momentum is strong. And him missing one debate with Biden or two debates does not matter at all. I think if he had a debate, it would make it stronger for him. I think it's a plus. If people see the difference, you know, right now about 56% of Americans believe that Joe Biden is senile or in the early stages of senility. If that's the case, they're not voting for him.
All right. Well, I always appreciate your time, and I know you made an extra effort today, so I do thank you for that, sir.
Oh, well, I enjoy talking to you.
All right.
You're a great host.
Well, thank you. We will obviously be having you back again. And one quick 20-second answer. Do we have any more October surprises coming that we don't already have in our face right now?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
You talk about declassification of additional materials?
Right.
Ah,
very good.
Okay, good.
Very
all right.
Good. Yeah. Good. Pompeii is going to put out some Hillary emails that have been lost for 4 years.
All right. We'll be looking for more detail on that as well. Thank you again, Dr. Lomero.
You bet.
Dr. Gerard Lomero. I know you guys enjoy listening to him. I always enjoy having him. So coming up, an essay. I'm not voting for Trump. This is not my statement, but it bears some listening and conversation. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Say
hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So a while back, one of our listeners sent me something that's an essay kind of going around. And knowing the source that sent it to me, the title grabbed me right away because this guy, I know him, and I know his views, but he sent something, and the one-line headline to me was, "I am not voting for Trump." Now, the what? What happened to this guy? Ah, well, when I got into it, I saw what he was saying and what the essay says. A lot of folks cannot stand Trump. I understand that. I remind you, he was not my first, second, or even third choice when he was running in the primary. But when it came down to Trump and Clinton, there was no choice. And this time around, in my opinion, there's no choice. But there again, the Trump haters, be they Republican, Democrat, Independent. But this essay kind of puts things in a different perspective. When it says, "I am not voting for Trump," hear this out. I am not voting for Trump. I'm voting for Second Amendment rights. I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting for life over abortion. I'm not voting for Trump. I am voting for our democracy, not socialism, communism. You see exactly what's going on. Look at the issues. Look, not the man. Yeah, he's done some things. I've told you before, if I were electing a pastor, which that's not what this is about, Trump would not have gotten my vote by any stretch of the imagination, but neither would Hillary. But look at what he's done. The other day, after I finished the program, the owner of this station wanted to share something with me, an editorial comment he'd been working on. Now, I want to read some of it. He said, he gave it to me, and I said, "You can use it if you want to." So I want to use some of it. He said, "All citizens should be part of elections and need to review their choices carefully." And they said, "I don't like what Trump often says in tweets. Sometimes, like all politicians, he stretches the truth. But think about it. Trump has been in office for nearly 4 years, Biden for 47 years. Which of them has gotten more done while in office?" He went on to talk about other things. "So you say you just don't like Trump? Well, tell us, what is it about him you dislike? Do you dislike he directed the brokering of the first meaningful Mideast peace deal in decades? Do you dislike he brokered a historic peace deal between Serbia and breakaway Republic Kosovo, both of those getting him nominated for the Nobel Prize? Do you dislike he made cruelty to animals a felony? Do you dislike he earmarked billions to stop the opioid crisis? Do you dislike he destroyed ISIS? Do you dislike him because he started to build a wall to keep criminals and drugs from coming into our country? Do you dislike Trump because he works for free, donating his salary to a different charity each quarter? Do you dislike Trump because of his economic policies that have produced the lowest black unemployment rate ever? Do you dislike he passed prison reform, which gives people a second chance and has made a huge difference for minorities in particular? So you don't like Trump. Well, do you dislike that he produced the lowest Hispanic unemployment rate ever? Do you dislike the VA reforms he passed to benefit the very people who served our country, defended our freedom? Do you dislike he got rid of the job-killing NAFTA trade deal, got tough on trade with China? So you don't like Trump. Do you dislike that he loves our flag and embraces a policy of unabashed, non-apologetic patriotism? Do you have a problem with that? Do you dislike when he calls out the media and attempts to correct them when they're wrong? Do you dislike he made a commitment to end child trafficking and crimes against humanity? Do you dislike he's making the world pay their fair share to the United Nations? So you don't like Trump. What do you dislike he respects cops, veterans, ICE, all first responders? Do you dislike he moved our embassy in Israel to Jerusalem? Do you dislike that he signed the Right to Try law, allowing terminally ill patients access to experimental therapies? The owner of the station added, "This list is hardly a complete list of what President Trump accomplished in 4 years." And I didn't read all of what he gave me. But his final remarks, as the station owner wrote down, he said, nobody is asking you to love President Trump. Nobody is asking you to be his best friend. In fact, you don't even have to like him. But take a moment to give some thought, and you'll find you'll be less than fair if you did not recognize what he's accomplished for America. Against overwhelming odds and powerful special interests and the press aligned against him. So try to put aside emotionalism, arbitrary, capricious preferences. Avoid the temptation to demonize the president. Focus on who's really effective, who has a vision, stamina, determination to get things done, and keep America on the right track moving forward. Those comments from the owner of the station, which I was more than glad to share. I want to thank all of you for listening to this program because you're helping it make bigger and better every day. Because I hear from some of you, you're not a big Trump supporter, but you go down that list I just read, you will find many things that, yeah, I'm for that. And who's going to do it? The left? The progressives? Who are building their case upon killing babies, even born in life? Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.